gekrige. Jy nie daai prentjie kom deel te sien.
So while we were worshiping, I saw this picture of like a Viking boat, long wooden boat, and there's two people. The boat's full of people, but it's only two people rowing, and they're rowing upstream, but they like laboring. And then another two people woke up and saw this two people like they work hard, like upstream, and they waking up and they grabbing the what do you call the oars. Does it sound right? Oars. Okay? They grabbing the oars and they start rowing, and then more and more people start rowing. And I just felt like it's like Paul, actually. Like more people are waking up and seeing people laboring for the Lord and starting to row in this river upstream. So I just feel like the Lord is like really just waking up people like in this era, joining rowing the boat, and then people starting to row, they're like enjoying it. So they're laboring, but they're smiling and they're loving it. Yeah, so it's just something I saw.
Yeah, I really think that every time somebody does something for the Lord, it gives other people a sense of almost permission in their heart. They feel, oh, I can also. And that's why it's so key for us to do and to obey God where we can, because others around us look, and then they, if he or she does, I can too. And you and I are made. We are made to function best when we serve God. That's how we are designed. Sin came in and it threw a bunch of things out, but we have the most peace, the most love, the most sense of belonging. We function best when we work with God. And that's one of the reasons why, as the gospel came, that as we find the peace with God, we say, this is it. You know, this is where we find a place of rest, because that's where we function best. So this, almost want to say the fellowship, you know, that ship, the Viking ship, is when we're in fellowship and when we, each one starts to row. So and it's a number of these things of letting go, loosening what Ina and what Stuart said, letting go and then moving forward. And it helps you and others. Wonderful. Fritz, I saw a picture of you almost sorry, a slingerfell, David with his slingshot. And I mean, we haven't spoken about this now. I'm not quite sure, but it feels like there's been something that the Lord has taught you how to hone almost, and it feels like it's been in the with the bear and with the lion, almost like David, that you learned how to. And there's an aspect of how God wants to use you that you're going to throw more into the public side. It feels like that, and hit the mark. But it's just, it's like one thing. It's not a bunch of stones that you throw. It's one thing that he's just going to help you hit. And it felt like you've already practiced it a lot. And he's now going to open moments for that. So I know this sounds quite vague, but just be ready for the opportunities for that. So, yeah, Father, we just pray for Fritz. And Lord, that what you've taught him in the secret, in a sense, like David, Lord, I pray that you would show him where's the Goliaths, Lord, and that he would hit on mark. With the rock, with that stone, in Jesus' name. Bless him, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. We're in Haggai. Where is Anamin? Anamin Alvain. Don't you want to just quickly share for us this week? Those of you visiting, I asked the church to do a big thing. I asked them to read through one book of the Bible 5 times. Now, I don't know if everyone got to that, but it's just 2 chapters. So basically, it's 10 chapters that you had to read. And the question that I asked them is, what characteristic of God stood out for them? So as we read, if Haggai was the only book of the Bible you had, you were in this Chinese persecuted place and you only have Haggai, and you need to get to know God out of that book, what do you discover about God? So let's just hear 2 characteristics, one from Anamin and one from Alva.
Okay. got a few, but I was actually saying to Doe on our way, he's not gonna ask me to come up, and I was like thinking of a way to make myself invisible, and he found me there in the back. So thank you. So actually, probably the biggest thing that stood out for me is just the correlation with, you know, if I look at myself and Doa, just the way we parent our kids and we train them up to be beautiful people. This was quite significant for me, just the way that God trains up his kids. And, you know, when kids are, when they disobedient, there's certain consequences, né? And in the same year, they were disobedient, and there were consequences which God could stop, but he didn't, because they needed to learn. They needed to learn a lesson. It's important, and it's his way of training his kids up, just like we as parents train up our kids. So that's and actually another thing that was amazing to me is he asked these things of us, and then he also gives us that desire. It says that he gave them the desire to start building the temple, which is actually, so you asked them, you must build a temple. And then when they got their hearts right, because they learned what God was trying to teach them, he also now gave them the desire to do what he's asking them. Okay, fine. I'll just finish with this. Just his heart, like his heart is always good. Even the not bringing rain and destroying crops and so on and so on. His heart is good, and he wants to bless, and he wants to give that peace. It's just the beautiful, like your eyes are.
Mine kind of goes with that, but I just saw the Father's heart in it, and it's comforting for me to know that it's the same God that led that whole, well, the remnant of the people, that's how they say, through like repentance and through following his ways, because you don't always see the gunk in your life, and then the Lord shines a light on it, and he leads us to through a process of repentance, and so that we can receive a new part of his blessing that we haven't before. That we can receive a new intimacy with him that we haven't before because of the purification process. And it's just so, like, he's so trustworthy that we can rest in that, that, like, God will convict me. Like, he calls us to purify ourselves, but there's also a co-labor in the sense of, like, he will convict you. He will lead you through things that offends him, in a sense, offends his Holy Spirit. And he leads us to a place where we can receive his blessing.
Thanks, guys. The scriptures are alive. In Hebrews 4, the writer says, the word of God is alive and active. It's able to pierce through Voma. It reveals the intents of the heart. And, you know, sometimes we struggle with our reading of scriptures and that discipline. And the point is just keep on reading and ask God for that desire. Ask God to reveal to you. And the scriptures is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is one of God's ways to reveal himself to us. And this Haggai is beautiful. It's full of God revelation. Last week we started and I spoke about, you know, just how God comes and He wants to build. He wants to give his promises. He wants to fulfill the plans that he started. And he is the same God. And the people of God stopped building. They returned to Jerusalem, and then for very good reasons, discouragement, disappointment, fear, accusations, and not just like their brother accused them. This was like political accusations. It's like, you know, big things, and they stop building, and they say, whoa, we're getting so much resistance, it's probably not the time to build God's house. And God comes out through Haggai, this prophet, and he says, the people say it's not time, you know, but is it not time to build the house of God? And for us, as we as we look at now, it is time. Now is the time. This is the day of the Lord, some of the scriptures say. And we consider time not just as a chronological thing. We consider time as this is the season God has us on earth. It's time for you and me to build. Nehemiah, you can go and read through Nehemiah. Zechariah, Haggai, Ezra, Nehemiah, those are the books that kind of go hand in hand, the same time, it's rebuilding of the halls. But Nehemiah, he was a leader and he helped rebuild the wall. And in Nehemiah 6 verse 3, someone just on the side, he says, people were asking him about what he was busy with and so on. At some stage he says, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And the people were asking, come, come, come. He said, I'm busy with God's work. And this is a good, a great. That it's all these great things. It's God's work is a good work. And so as we are looking at the book of Haggai, I want you to have this impressed on your heart that what we are busy with, building church in that sense, although God is building, but planning church, working communities, working people's lives, hosting Team T students, all these kind of things. It is good work. The world will say it's bad. Some of your families will say it is bad. God says it is good. Not because, you know, you're earning something, but because it's His work. He started it. And if He's a good God, He's got good work. And many of you know the verse in Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, God created us for good works He prepared for us beforehand. And so we're in the busy of the rebuilding of the temple. And this is a picture, in one sense, symbolic to us. Now, I want you to go to Psalm 127, verse 1 to 5 for a moment. I'm going to read through there. And some of you might have heard this word, the Psalms of Ascent. It is the Psalms that were used, that they read as the people went back to Jerusalem during their kind of pilgrimages. But this was also the Psalms that they read when they were going back to rebuild Jerusalem. And so these were songs that they sang to themselves to encourage them, to remind them of what God said, of God's faithfulness. It was these songs that as they were walking, it would come up in their hearts, in their minds, and they would sing it, and they would sing it to one another. It was prayers. Some of the songs we sang this morning, especially the Afrikaans guys, you would give it van daai liedjies, was ouer liedjies, wat nou verwerk is, né, wat ons gesing het, gesange en psalms. Now, we've got a double up. We want to also keep the Afrikaans vibrant in our house with the boys and help them, but we don't have so many songs in Afrikaans. So what we've started to sing is psalms and gesange in some of the mornings. So the boys sing with us. We're doing a bit of a karaoke, almost like, you know, we've got it on the screen. Sing to it. But scriptures that we are singing, it awakens the heart in some way. The words are like, yes, I love this. Oftentimes when we go and visit some people, maybe in the NG church or so, and we've got the geloofsbelijdenis. Yes, I get so excited when we start just declaring, ek glo in God, die Almachtige. Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, it builds up, and I'm like, come on, I'm all kind of excited. This is powerful. This is our gospel. And so the Jews sang these words to one another. They reminded one another through these songs, these psalms, these prayers. And I want to specifically focus on this one for a moment. Psalm 127, verse 1 to 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And it's a song, it's got these images of blessedness, of God working, but also us working. It speaks of relationship, it speaks of family. But what I want to focus on is the building component. You can just keep it there. The building component. And we zoom into Haggai, where they are busy building. And they need to remind themselves of that God wants to build. Interesting here, it says that unless God builds the house, the builders build in vain. All right, so who are the builders here? Well, there are two categories. God builds, and then there are builders who are we. All right, so God can build without us, but we can't build without God. God can do, and we know, sometimes, you know, some of you have a story of encountering Jesus. Nobody, I mean, you were on your own. Probably, I believe, somebody was praying for you, but you're on your own and you have a revelation of God. Something happens and you are born again. God does things. There are things in different nations in your lives that, I mean, I have no clue. I did not have a hand in that. God can build on His own. But I, as I work with God, and I can't do it without God. I can't do anything of everlasting effect without God. None of us can do that. And so God calls us to build with Him and to trust in Him. And as we go on that journey, as we start to build, we often faced with discouragement, fear, frustration, accusations. Things don't work out. And as we read through the first chapter of Haggai, it was interesting that they said, no, it's not time to build God's house, but they had time to build their own house. They had time to sow their own crops. They had time to fix their own things. They had time for themselves, but they did not have time for God. Isn't that one of the big excuses that you and I have? I was just thinking this week, I need to, and then it's dropping kids, it's a busy day, and before you saw, I need to find time with God. I need to invest that time. Where's my treasure? And you've got to fight for it. You've got to put certain habits in place. You've got to work at it to make sure, not that to qualify you for going to heaven, but to make sure you grow in God. And you are aware of what He wants you to do. You are building with Him. So let's go to chapter 2, from verse 1 to 9. I'm just going to read for us here. So they started to build. God stirred their hearts. Beautiful. They stirred. And I know sometimes we probably, I hear it often in relationships, you know, when there's a guy that likes a girl or both, the other way around. Lord, if it's not from You, take away the feeling. Now, those kind of things, I want to tell you, you and I are designed. It's part of the blessing in beforehand. God said, bless you, go reproduce. You are made to feel something for the opposite sex. All right? Now, through lots of things, some people feel less and others feel more. So, but that prayer, it can happen, but generally it doesn't. I just want to say it there, okay? Don't think that it's God's answer if the feeling does not go away. All right? Yeah, so that's just a side note for the young ones here. But it's a good, you can honor God through that feeling as well. Yeah? But here it goes. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak to Zerubbabel. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. So he's the leader there. And to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the religious leader. And to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? So they knew, many of them knew how Solomon's temple looked like. It was exquisite. If you read how Solomon's temple was built, I mean, wisdom was just revealed through everything they did. People from Heinde en Verre het gekom. The Queen of Sheba came to see the wisdom displayed in what he built. It was magnificent. It spoke of God's splendor. It spoke of God's lavishness. It spoke of, I mean, it was something on earth that reflected something in heaven. It's awesome. And then they go into captivity, and they're there for 70 years, and finally they can go back home and rebuild this temple. And they go back, and now they start rebuilding, and it's not looking like it used to. The good old days. Some of us have grown for some time. You've gotten kids, you got born again, maybe as a young age, and you saw incredible stuff, and you had these goosebumps. They were this high when God spoke to you. I mean, it was just incredible. And now you've got children. You've got a poo dookie that you have to do just before church. There's nothing glorious to this. And you come here into on a Sunday, it's like, and somebody says, can I hold her? Fato. Fato. Yeah. There's no glory. And you think, yes, it used to be so good. The way God is. This is as nothing in my eyes. And oftentimes we look back at ways that God worked with us or things that God did or people that were involved in our lives and we think, yes, if we can only go back, if we can only experience that again. And it's a problem with our eyes. Problem with our perspective. It's something that we want to go back to, and it actually binds us. And some of these pictures this morning is we've got to move forward. We've got to look at what God wants to do. We've got to look at what God has now, because now is the time. It's beautiful in His eyes. It is a great work. And your experience might differ, but I tell you, as we read through Psalm 127, it speaks there about the offspring and how it's a quiver. I mean, you oftentimes think there's spiritual warfare that we have binding and loosing and we're praying against and we cast out demons. And then there's spiritual warfare that I believe is raising up a child in the ways of God and letting him or her be an influence in a community. That's serious spiritual warfare. But I want to tell you, Hyundai Shandai, that feels way more easier and exciting than poof dookie, say asseblief, say donkey, muni nani, hukum de, tuka. That's not easy. Monotonous, ungrateful. But it's a great work. It's a great work. It's a great work. And the parents here would know. I mean, yeah, we know when that child does something that you did not expect that. And somebody comes to you and say, I just want to tell you, he's got such nice manners, you know. Ooh, ooh, ooh. My child. Yeah, I get it from me. You go back and you tell him, I cannot believe. Can you? But it's a great work. And so God wants His children, and He wants us to see, how does the work of God, how does this, what we are busy with here, the communities, the church, the worship teams, the outreach, youth, all those kind of things, there's discomfort. I want to tell you, with our children stuff, the rooms here, there's a bit of discomfort. There's not everything is in place, but is it a good work in your heart? Have you, in this one sense, found treasure here? Because God is asking that for His people. Are you longing back to the previous church you were at, or maybe Wellington, or previous experience, or are you seeing the treasure now? And he goes on, he says, in one sense, he says, change your eyes. Don't see it as nothing. Are you seeing the people around us here? How do we look at one another? Are we look at the degree or the not degree that they have? How they speak, their income status, their race, their language, their looks, their abilities? Or are we looking with the eyes of the are we looking with the eyes of Jesus? And I know sometimes it's very difficult. But the way that we look with the eyes of God is we pause for a moment and we trust Him. We ask Him, show me what you are seeing, God. Show me what you are seeing. And it is incredible to oftentimes realize, I did not see that. In a situation, in a person, show me what you are seeing. And that is somehow how we need to look at one another, how we need to work with one another. Yes, there are natural things, and there are, you know, I almost want to say manira and those kind of manners and stuff that we need to deal with. But are we looking at God's call, God's desire for the people? Don't look at one another and see nothing. I fell in that temptation. When I am not aware of God and I just go over into my natural mode, I can quickly box somebody in and, shortcomings, this, that, and the other. And if we look at the scriptures, God frequently used the person that everyone else is like, are you sure? But God looks at His own strength coupled with that person. It can work. And we've got to remind ourselves, not just for us, but for each one here. I mean, have you ever thought, as we come together on a Sunday morning, it's not a bunch of, you know, these big musicians or so. This is Cassie. You know what he does during the week? He's a doctor, a GP. He plays touch rugby every Monday and Wednesday. That's what he does. That's the person that, yeah. He's got a boy. He's got a wife. Here's Yuria. She is an artist. She goes to school. She helps kids with, I don't know all the stuff that you, but she's a mother of four. That is serious. I mean, I think maybe, yeah. No, she doesn't count. She's already married. So, but everyone here, Henny's, is at Yinkwaf. Caitlin, says, you know, for the medicine, my medicine, what's that? But we've got these other kind of almost identities in the community. But primarily, God's children, God's workers. And we have this other, how we live it out in the world. And then we come together, and it's beautiful, this diversity. It shows for something of God's work. It's awesome. We cannot allow ourselves to say, ach no, it's nothing. Ons kan dit nie minag nie. It is awesome. How does it look in your eyes? Is it common? Is it like nothing? Or is it less? Or is it what God desires? So he goes on, yet now, be strong. They've lost strength. They tried to focus on themselves. They tried to make a life for themselves, build their own houses, build up equity, build up their crops, build up everything to do God's work so that they can give to God's work. And they are weak. Strength is not found in ourselves. They have become weak to do God's work. And he says, be strong, all you people, Zerubbabel, to the leader, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua. Even the priests become weak. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I've made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Or the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Says to the physical eye, this looks like nothing. This looks like less. God is saying, the glory that's coming in year through year will be way more than the glory of Solomon's temple. And you immediately see he's pulling our vision to heavenly things. In Colossians 3, he says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is. Consider the heavenly things first, and then the earth. Now listen to me, I'm not saying we should be here on earth like, you know, like some Christians are, we're just waiting on God, and we're just, no. See how practical God is. Last time in chapter 1, he said, go fetch wood, build the house, build the temple. Now he goes and he says, okay guys, you've lost, and you've focused so much on yourself, you've become weak. You've done so much, you know, first I need to sort this out, you have become weak in the spirit. I want to say, be strong. My spirit is with you. And his presence enables the work of God. But you get it? His presence does not excuse us from work. It enables us for the work. Are there times that we need to, almost in a passive way, wait on God? And I say passive, it's just you sit still, or you have times of silence, and you have times of just considering before you do. We have those times. We need those times. But it cannot be isolated. It's not apart from the work time. God says, my presence is with you. Work. Do what you need to do. I'll give you strength. I'll give you my presence. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I'm so weak. I don't have this. I don't have that. And I know we get tempted to that. Oftentimes when circumstances are pressing on you, all of a sudden somebody died, or you know, again, somebody is sick, especially when it happens over and over. And the job or something at work or the kids, and it's like you lose strength to fight. You give up hope. And these people had reason for that. They had enough resistance. They had enough in their background to say, 70 years we were slaves. Our family stayed behind. They are prospering. They've got brick houses. They've got businesses. They are prospering. And we've left everything for God, and now it's not working out. And they get droopy. God says, be strong. It's like he's commanding it. It's like, it seems to me that he can say, be strong, and his expectations are that you will find strength. It feels unfair. Huh? How oftentimes in our relationships, especially, you know, in spouse or children, so we say, do this. My gummy. I can't. I don't have this. I don't have it. And then I put the sleeps away. And God's children does that. We do that oftentimes. We cloak it. I don't have the faith for it. Ooh, ouch. Now, yes, sometimes God doesn't speak something and you say, I don't think I should do that. But here he's speaking to his people and says, be strong, have strength. But he doesn't give it in such a way that you need to go on your own, be strengthened, and come back and do his work. Now, he is saying, he's commanding them to do things with the resource to do it. And this is why Ephesians 6 is so good for us. Paul speaks about the armor of God. But he first armors, I don't know, the heart. He says, be strong in the strength of the Lord. And that picture is like, you know, you've heard the ant and the elephant walking across the bridge. And the ant sits on the elephant's back and says, my elephant, we can shake this bridge. I mean, I is minute. That elephant, that the ant has got no noemenswaardige bijdra. He doesn't contribute really. But he's with the elephant and he's shaking everything. That's what God's saying. Strong in my strength. I'll Abba you. I'll carry you. I'll give it to you. And it's very practical. And this week, there was a number of things. And at some stage, yes, our schedule was like, and it's kids this, and then it's a pastoring thing, and then it's this. And I'm now meditating on Haggai. Just thinking God's saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I for a moment, I have prayer moments where I remind myself that God is with me. I don't think, oh, I need to get strength. I need to get strength. No, I remind myself that God is with me. I remind myself of what God said. And so in that moment, I'm not leaning on how long I've prayed, how much I've read. That is not the issue. The issue is God with me? And that is for you and me. That is how we become aware and how we walk in the Spirit. Sometimes you hear something specific. Sometimes it's just the knowledge that He is with you, the awareness. And that, people, with Pentecost, is this incredible thing that God poured out, this blessing, the promise that said, you won't be alone. Jesus said, I have to go. I have to go, but He leaves something better, the Spirit of God. And as we are busy in the work of God, we need the Spirit of God. And He says there, I am the same God. I have this that covenant. It says, work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My Spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. That God led them out of Egypt. That massive, it was over 1 million people that came out of there. Moses was a man who in his own strength could kill one Egyptian, and he had to flee. And God had to work in him and take him through that discipline and take him through times of quietness and isolation. And then he came back and he followed God. And God led through Moses a whole nation, and he destroyed thousands of Egyptians through Moses, just because Moses obeyed him. And so God says, hey guys, remember there, I was with Moses. There was a cloud by day, fire by night. They could see God's presence. God is saying, guys, I'm with you in the same way. It doesn't look, you can't see the cloud. You can't feel the pillar of, but I am with you from God's perspective. If you had to ask God, are you with the people? Yes, sure, I'm with them the same I was with Moses and them. It looks different, but the same presence. And now God comes and He says, Pentecost, Spirit poured out, the same that I was with them, I'm the same God that's yesterday, today, and forever. And somewhere, because we lean on our physical senses and what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears and touch, and so we judge God's work according to that. And He's saying, no. Be strong. Don't lean on that weak things. And yes, we sometimes see it, but put your mind on things above. Consider that and then work on earth. Work amongst one another. Be strong. I am with you. And His presence displaces the fear. His presence displaces the apathy. His presence, it's like a catalyst. And somewhere in some church circles and experiences, people think that when we experience the presence of God, we become less and less active. We just receive, marinate. Now that's the first step. We marinate in the presence. Have you heard that? We soak it up. And I want to wait. For me, I love experiencing, almost in a tangible way, experiencing the presence of God. But it cannot stop there. It must translate in good work. It must translate in some form of shining. Like our deeds shine out. It's how you talk, how you work with people, what you do, how you are at the workplace. There's something of that. How you deal with your budget, as James is encouraging us, with our time. It goes over into that. It looks like Jesus. Jesus was busy with a good work. He is. He says, I will build my church. And the house, and the gates of hell will not prosper against it. And this is what we are busy. This is what Haggai is pointing us to. So guys, Jesus is busy building. Jesus is working. And it's not a physical building. It's these living stones. It's these people. And he says, you and I, we need to together, we need to look. Where is Jesus building? What is he doing? Find strength from him. Find vision and understanding, perspective from him, and work together. And you are going to be faced with weakness. You are going to be faced with fear. You are going to be faced with discouragement. You are going to be faced with offenses. You're going to, all those things are going to come. Be strong. Don't stop. And you can see how God raises up these voices, these prophets, to nudge his people forward. He's caring, he's loving, he gives his grace, he gives his presence, but he doesn't stop with his plan. He doesn't say, okay, let's try something else. This is not working lekker. No, no, no. He is building the house. The builders build in vain unless he is building. And if the builders build in vain, if they just build their own thing. We need to build with God. And then he ends off and he says, it belongs to me. I will shake the nations. I will shake everything. The silver and the gold is mine. He's declaring his almighty position, his most high position. He's above it all. And he calls you and me to work with him. Oh, our minds need to be renewed of that. You don't need, and hear me when I say this, you don't need to know how good you are and need your mind renewed in that area. You need, and I say you know, I speak of myself, I need to have my mind renewed in how big God is, how great he is, how powerful he is, how wise he is, how loving he is, how good he is. Because when I see who he is, automatically I find my place. And some of us struggle with the low self-esteem. Not because you don't know yourself good enough. You probably know yourself too good. That's why, you know, you realize, oh man, I'm... But when we know God, our Father, and His love, and His goodness, and we see in that a reflection of, He created us in His image. It's because of Him that we can have faith, strength, confidence, all of that. That's how David came. I mean, I spoke to Fred some, but David came, I come to you in the name of the Lord. My God has delivered me from the bear and the lion. Now I come to you. And like my youngest would say, I mean, Goliath there had a few other brothers. And I don't want to say, Om se booties, as groot. He's got a coach there at the rugby. And he said, no, he's too, because he's a very big guy with lots of muscles. I said, Papa. Om se booties is ook groot. Om se booties. And there's a lot of Om se booties out there that will speak to, but God. And we've got brothers and sisters that come in with us. I'm not making your problem smaller, because some of us have got very real challenges. Very real things that brings hopelessness or anxiousness. My question is just, how big is our God? How big is God in light of that? And we've got to ask God, give us an elevated view of God, the Most High God. Lise.
That's good, isn't it? Huh? Come on, Roan, slaat my die park uit. You can hide my loss. I just believe it's such a thing that the Lord is addressing right now in our midst. It's this thing of how do we build faith, you know? How do we get reminded about God? Because that's the issue. How big is your God, not how big is your problem? And what the Lord is saying here is that one of our biggest problems is remembering. And the question obviously is, how do we remember? Who can ons onthou? Hoe groot? And it's like getting in your quiet time, getting into, but one of the big blessings that he gives us, one of the big gifts he gives us in order to ascend the hill of the Lord, to climb the ladder of faith, is one another. You know, a brother or a sister who in a moment can speak about their God is a key for me. It's an unlocking of the shackle. And the gift which we are to one another is to be able to speak a spiritual word to somebody who just sees the natural in that moment. This is the gift. This is the key. This is our communities are keys for us to ascend the hill of the Lord. Us being together is a key for us to remember the Spirit of the Lord. And when we get together, it is crucial for your brother or your sister to hear a word of faith in your mouth, in my mouth. It is absolute key. Listen what the Lord is saying here. He says, I know that you who are building the house are struggling with a few things. One of the things that you are struggling with is you don't remember that I am with you. And I'm going to remind you, in this case, it's Haggai that reminds us. But we don't have a Haggai here, but we might have a Fritz. And Fritz is going to speak a word that says, the Spirit of the Lord is with you. All right, and then whoever else, Caleb is going to come and says, do you know what God has done? And then it's your turn to speak about your God, which your brother needs to hear. I'm just so seeing, and this is what, you know that the Lord is speaking of four here. He says, fear not, four. And it's the view of the future that calms the storm in the present. This is what makes the difference. He says, I want to say, fear not, for in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. Do you know that this little while has not passed yet? Do you know that we haven't seen this little while yet? You know, the scary thing about our God is that this little while of our God is like more than 2,000-3,000 years later. His little while is not our little while, and it intimidates us. But for God, he says, if I can tell you about what I'm going to do, your present storm will become flat waters. And we need to hear that God will fill this house with glory. We need to hear that it's a little while and he will shake and he will fill. He will shake all the nations, all the silver and the gold is his, and he will fill this house with glory, this building of his. And we need to remind ourselves of that thing. That little while, remembering that God will do it is fine, even if that little while is a few thousand. I'm reminded that we need to remind one another. We need to speak to one another. Our God will shake. Our God will fall. We need to do this.
Thanks, guys. I love this.
Ruan said we must encourage us. One interesting thing, if you read the end of chapter 1 of Haggai, is the sequence of events, which is interesting for me, is the first thing it says, the people started obeying God, started building. Then it says, the fear of God came amongst them. And then it says, Haggai went to them and encouraged them and said, God is with you. And then you read a few verses later, and then it says, and then God inspired them. So they didn't wait to obey. They didn't wait for inspiration to start with obedience. They were inspired at a place of already obeying. And that's quite a big key. And that's where faith comes in. It's not like, okay, I'm waiting. When I'm inspired, I'm going to start doing it. No, they started doing it, and then they feared, and God is with me. And then they became inspired, and the thing created momentum, but it started with obedience without inspiration.
That's good. That's good. We are in a culture, we are in a generation that is highly, that values feelings and how we sense things at the moment very high. Our treasures are there in a sense. If I don't feel it, I don't have to do it. And that is antichrist. It is not God's heart. It is not our Lord Jesus. He did not feel to go to the cross. He felt the opposite and he prayed for that. But, and so the way we start to reveal and the way that we start to shine a light is a company of people that just lives completely different, not according to the flesh. Now, there are times that you do feel something more, but it's not directed by that. So how do we know we are busy building with God? I just want to highlight a few practical things here. This is, you have a sense that you are obeying Him. In other words, Fritz was now speaking there about the obedience. Do you know when you obey God or not? Because some people have been so conditioned to just be a good person. Got some family members, every now and again they brag, yeah, ek het nou my goeie daad vir die dag gedoen, and they gave a lift to somebody or a 20 rand to somebody or so, and that kind of, they feel less guilty about not living a life with God. And so we have good things. No, obedience from God is where we are, we know we are working with Him. Where there's a sense of that we're doing His will. We are consciously involved with what God is busy with. In other words, we are aware that jy is bewus daarvan dat jy besig is met dit wat God wil hê jy moet doen. So hier in our midst, is there a person, at least one, that you are consciously, you are intentionally involved in their life in some way or another that you could say, I am building into their life? That could be praying for somebody specific. That is involved in their life. That is changing some things in their life, even though they might not know of it. That is helping, standing with them in the Spirit to, you know, become what God wants them to become or have a breakthrough. It is building. It is, the Scripture says, the prayer of the righteous avails much. It works. It does. So are you involved in praying for one of us? Then you are building with us. Do you have a relationship, not romantic, a friendship, a connection? Are you building that with someone, some people in this church where you can make things better for them? Either by just being with them, maybe they need a friend, encouraging them with scripture or a community, doing something for them. You can help them with something. There is some form of giving into their lives from your life. Time, materially, spiritually, they don't know how to forgive. You help them to forgive. That is practically working on the house of God. That is how it looks like. Maybe it's saying to somebody, come with me, doing something with. Hosting the TMT students this week, that is a work in this house. It adds. Although the TMT students aren't like with us every Sunday, this morning their contributions, it is adding, it's working into as part of this house. Helping our kids. Babysitting, helping someone with a lift, those kind of things. It's very practical and sometimes almost like, it's not true. But they all add to this experience and this life of God's people, where He said, they will know that you are my disciples. They will know that you believe in me. They will know that you follow me by the love you have for one another. How does that love look like? Some of the things that I just mentioned. It looks like help. It looks like blessing somebody verbally with a word. It looks like praying for someone. It looks like being with somebody when they grieve. It looks like something. It's got to be seen. Even if it's a prayer in the closet, it's seen by heaven. Eh? But you know you're doing something. And can each one of us say confidently, I am busy. Maybe I can be busier in God's work, But I am doing something in this building process. If you cannot say that, God wants to say, be strong. My presence is with you. Come do something. And sometimes I don't have like the angel of light kind of showing me what to do. I don't have like this experience. I just know this is good in God's heart. And if he says no, I'll stop. If he hinders me, but I can go and be good to people. And so we're not advocating for a good works without God, that we're just good people. And we're moral. You know, because that's sometimes, and it's a big challenge here in our valley, in Paul. Ons allemaal wil goeie mense wees. Kids are well-mannered, good schools, we care for them, we go to church on Sunday, and we are good people. We even say please and thank you after conversations. And so that's, and religion is like a part of our life. That is the challenge with lots of people in this valley. And we have to come in with this, it is involved. It is with God, with His presence. And it's a place where peace comes. God says there in verse 9, He says, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord. Now, you know, peace is not the absence of war necessarily, ne? Peace is the presence of God in our midst. Peace is when things are working in harmony. And for us as a congregation, part of this big house of God, is peace is vital. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He came to make peace. Bible says, between us and God. And that word peace, it speaks of harmony. It's the picture of a band playing together and everyone plays. So each one is not the same, but they together they are making this melody. They are making this beautiful sound because it works together. They're not working against one another. They are honoring one another for the role that they are playing. And together they are playing this beautiful music according to the conductor. Peace is when we work well together. It doesn't mean that everything is all easy, but there's a sense of we are moving with God. We are in harmony. When one thing isn't working and the rest are working, there's no harmony. Especially in a car or in a vehicle, you know, things like that. There's no harmony. And so we want to have harmony. We're not advocating for everything copies the same, but harmony, working together. The Bible says that we can have peace with God. So Jesus came and said, you can be one with me. There's peace. You don't have to be afraid. We're not working against one another. We are working together. You have me in you, and we now work together to find and help others come into peace. This world is full of non-peace. We've got Israel and Palestine. We've got COVID. We've got Wuhan. We've got different countries just in all. And there's no peace because they don't find the time to build God's house. God's house lies in ruins. And when we sit, we seek first His kingdom, He adds all the other things. Come, let's pray. Close our eyes. I asked that, can you with confidence say, I'm busy with work? I'm not busy in a negative sense, but I'm busy with God's work. Like Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. And I know all of us need to work on things. There are certain characteristics or certain habits that you may be still trying to put off. That's all part of the journey. But somewhere you are involved. I want to ask if there are some of you that are not, that you feel, I'm not working in God's kingdom. I don't feel a place. I don't see value. I don't see something for me to do. Just in this moment, to just put your hands maybe in front of you as a receiving way and say, God, I want to work with you. God, I want to work on your house. Show me. Show me. And so what I'm guiding you into is, I'm not asking you to out of yourself generate what you think will be good, what you think you should know. You are asking the builder of the house to show you where you need to build, unless God builds the house. And so he's going to bring an opportunity. I believe some of you are going to have an opportunity just as we end here. Somewhere where you can bless, where you can involve. And that one step is going to become two steps, three steps, four steps. And later on, it's a whole journey with Jesus. So just ask him. Some of you are honest. You don't really want to do it. You know the asking, the price is too big. I want to ask you, just ask him for forgiveness for that heart. And say, Lord, whatever's causing me to fear to give, to work. Because maybe you've been disappointed in the past. Didn't work out. You got offended. Just say, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about these around me. I want to have peace, because actually your peace is being robbed because you are not working with God. We have a gift in each one of us. It needs to be given. And it's going to take work to give it. Thank you, Lord. I don't know where each one is this morning with your personal walk with the Lord, but I do want to ask. So I spoke about the peace of God. And you just don't have peace, the peace of God in your life at the moment. It's constantly a struggle. Your sleep is being robbed. You feel like there's nothing, it's not in harmony. I want to pray with you specifically. Is there anybody like that? You even know God, but there's not a harmony. You are struggling. Do you mind just lifting up your hand? I want to pray for you. See. Pray with you. That God, okay, amen. Like with, he said in his word, you can have the peace of God. It can be yours. So Lord, I want to pray with her. Trust you for your peace to fill their heart now. Do you even show, if there's something that they just need to give to you, it held them back, almost like this morning's pictures of the rowing boat or so. Do you bless it with peace? That your peace would be their portion. And that they would walk in peace. In the name of Jesus. We bless you for that. We say amen. Amen. Sean, you want to share something?
I just feel something, and this is, there's some people here that you feel like you don't have the tools to build, like the cement and all that things. And I feel the Lord says that, yes, Rabbi, yes. Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust in me. Open the eyes of your heart. That you may see, you will see him clearly. And that obedience will come. Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust in me. I've given you the tools. I've given you the tools to build. It's there. It's already there. Take hold of it.
Man. So if you feel bad, I don't know how, I don't know what, just start. It's there. Just ask. And you can ask if you're in a community. Ask your community leader, one of the elders, somebody that you feel is even, you know, maybe older than you in the faith that can help you. But don't allow that to hold you back. Amen. Wonderful, guys. Hope you have a great day. You're welcome to join us for some coffee fellowship there at the back. I know some are going to walk in the mountains. Enjoy that. And have a great week.